Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Let's say you meet somebody. Let's say you're single first.
Yes.
Just, you know, let's pretend that you're not like coupled up.
It's a hypothetical off the top.
This is a hypothetical.
Yeah. All right.
So let's say you meet somebody and they're the most perfect, amazing person in the world.
Mm.
But then you find out that they are vegan,
right,
and they require you to be vegan as well in order to date them.
Yes.
Now, this isn't just for veganism or vegetarianism. This is, would you change a major part of your life to date someone who was ideal for you? Would you be able to go vegan?
Yes, because some... Look, they're ultimatums, right? Aren't they? Like, if you want to be with me, you have to adopt
this
lifestyle.
Yeah, like, I know a lot of people aren't quite like that, but they will try and encourage them towards veganism or vegetarianism.
So some of those, i.e. vegan vegetarianism, are much better than other...
ultimatums.
Yeah, so if it was a, yes, you have to go full vegan. And the premise of your question was, this person is incredible
this
for you.
This person's incredible
this
for you.
This person is amazing for you. And you won't even think about doing this, like, you won't even consider it for this amazing, incredible person for you?
You know what? Like, I'd ask for a compromise.
Oh,
I'd be like, I feel really like guilty about it, but I'm a massive carnivore. Like, I like my meat. Nope, that's taken out of context.
Hey,
nobody take the soundbite out of context and put it in a speech bubble above my head or anything. I would ask if I can lean into vegetarianism and veganism, and also like a lot of the meat that I source. Not that I want to turn this into a meat question, but because my parents live out near a farm, we can source meat quite ethically, rather than mass horrible production. Like, we specifically know the person who did the thing. Anyway,
you're right. So asking that question, I would never. Tom Harris, I don't think would ever hold anyone to be like, if you want to be with me, you've got it. Well, maybe Billy Joel, but apart from that, there's not a, so to do that, to flip it, I wouldn't be like, yes, I will do, I would look for that compromise.
Yeah,
but I would entertain the idea if hypothetical amazing perfect person is asking of this of me.
Also,
I would,
though, if they were giving me an ultimatum, they might not be the perfect person.
Yeah, that's true, that's very true.
Okay,
well,
so today we've got an extra person on the mic.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I know, it's amazing. So Zane, producer Zane, wants to say a thing.
So, well, that's the thing, in my current relationship, I'm with a vegetarian, so I, when I'm with them, I do mostly eat vegetarian things because that's an okay thing to do. I think the question implies, though, what something, and veganism is an option. Like, what if it was something like religion? Like, would you convert to Catholicism and go to mass every week?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, no.
The thing is with that, like, I would be happy to convert, but that's not going to change my brain.
I think it's behavior. So
it's not going to make me believe, but I'll do it if you want me to, kind of thing. If they're perfect person, like, I'm not going to do it unless they're perfect person.
Yeah, but it's,
but again, disingenuously,
are they perfect person?
Yeah.
If they're asking you to do the thing, all of the debates.
I don't know. I would want to know, because hypotheticals is weird and awkward for us to. But I want to know from people who have changed religion or become religious for a partner, or picked up vegetarianism or veganism. I'd be interested if there are any readers who have
major life changes that you've made for a relationship because your partner wanted you to.
It's a proviso of a relationship.
But even if they didn't specifically ask you to, have you done a major life change because because that's the way they are and that's what they believe.
I'm equally interested in hearing from those people who have done the asking. Who have said?
How do you justify asking someone to change their life? life, okay? No, that sounds really confrontational.
It's kind of a valid. It's kind of a valid question.
Welcome to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past.
Hello, one. Hello, all.
I'm Liz Best.
And I'm Tom Harris.
And today we had a guest.
We had.
But then COVID happened.
COVID happened.
So we no longer have a guest.
No guest.
That's a lie. We do have a guest. She's rad. She's awesome. She's one of my favorite people.
Can you believe it? Can you believe we booked her?
I know. We booked a guest last minute. Like, I was very excited. It's me. So.
Hey! And the crowd goes wild.
And so this is why we've got producer Zane on mic, because we always believe that there needs to be two hosts to keep the guest chatting and
honest
when it comes to me. Yes. So I have dug through my trunk of baggage.
Yes, did you pack this emotional baggage yourself?
Yes, I packed this emotional baggage myself. A few, you know, got thrown down a few flights of stairs and got a bit damaged on the way. But
so lovely Elizabeth is being brave once again, dear readers, and is sitting in our hot seat here on Ghosts of Boyfriends Past. For those new listeners who don't understand our mission brief, Liz and I, what we love to do is we have a guest into our studio, and the guest will share a story of a relationship gone by. Hilarious, awkward, sad, traumatic.
All of the above.
We'll take all, and we listen, we observe, we understand, we unpack, we ask, what did we learn? And it's a very kumbaya sharing the story kind of feel about it.
Now, this is incredibly last minute because, as we said, due to illness, we had someone pull out this afternoon. So it's a story that I've had kind of in my head wanting to tell for a while, but I haven't exactly plotted all of it out. So if I'm a little bit scatterbrained, I'm sorry. If you guys need to ask any questions that I've missed, please feel free to.
Oh, I'll ask questions.
Oh, yes, I know you will.
Is it a happy story, an awkward story, a sad story, a weird story?
It's shit. It's just not depressing shit, but it's just what an asshole.
It's a poor behavior story.
Yeah, it's a poor behavior story that has some funny bits, hopefully.
I'll warm up the button.
Oh, my God, you're going to need that button within the first 5 minutes of me starting.
Yeah, crank the handle on that dump him button.
We already know the rules. I know the rules.
Yes, Liz,
I've got a fake name for the person. I will fuck up. I'm sorry.
It's just for our new readers that come trickling onto the show.
Yes.
Elizabeth is in the hot seat this week, so she knows that rule one is no aliases. You need aliases.
Yes.
I couldn't remember the word.
I've got a false name for the person, and I'm also going to change a couple of other details as well.
Fantastic. That's for rule two. That leads into rule two, so that those of you playing along at home who figure out who Liz is talking about today, jobs, where they worked, where they've lived, etc., and other people orbiting satellites of the story, don't dox them. We're not here to say, oh, the Mr. Devil Man is, ooh, and chase him into the streets.
No.
We're not here to do that.
It's not a mystery for you to solve. It's
no,
a story
that's right.
for you to appreciate.
This isn't a true crime podcast, goddammit. No. And the third threat, Elizabeth.
The third threat. No threats.
That was in my head. The third rule is no threats on microphone, please.
That's okay. I've already done my threatening beforehand.
She was doing warm-ups before. She was threatening up the storm.
Yes. So, look, as frequent listeners of the show will know, I currently hold the record in tie with one of our guests, Joe, for the number of times that we've fucked up with aliases.
Yes.
So today I've picked a name that's probably as different as I possibly could, and that name's going to be Aiden.
Okay.
And the reason why I picked the name Aiden, sorry to any of the Aidens out there, is that every single kid that had an Aiden, Jaden, Brayden, Caden in their name when I went to school was a nut job and always badly behaved. So
I agree. Those names just seem to bring out something. I don't know. I've never met an Aiden, Brayden, but
they know what they did.
And they know what they're currently doing.
Yeah.
So we have our show. We have our premise. We have our guest. We have our rules. We have a stand-in co-host with Zane C. Weber on the microphone. Elizabeth Best, it's over to you and your hot little hands.
Okay. Thanks for calling my hands hot. so this starts when I was 19.
It's an interesting and important and uneducated time frame.
You
age.
Know nothing.
It's not very long ago.
You think, yes.
In the recent past.
In the recent, it's so recent. It's like 4 years ago, guys.
But no one at 19.
It's one of those times when you think you know shit, yeah. but you know fuck all. Yes.
Because you've had a relationship yes. and you've made mistakes and you're like, okay.
I've done it.
That's behind
me. I had a couple at that point. I'd had probably two what I would call proper relationships. So one of them ended and I was the catalyst for that, and I will explain on a later story why I was a dumb bitch about that. But this starts, so I'd just broken up with someone. I was feeling quite sorry for myself, and I was going to a party that I knew that my ex was going to be at. And so I turn up to the party and I walk in completely nervous that I'm going to see my ex because I had broken up with him and I felt bad about it.
What? How did these nerves present themselves? Like, did you present yourself in a particular way because
he was going to be there? Oh, look, I always looked hot, so.
Yeah, but like, did you specifically wear his favorite perfume and outfit?
Do you know what? I wasn't super petty back then. Okay. So I wore something that was. And I try to explain this to friends recently is whenever you're going to see an ex, don't try and dress up to look sexy because that screams, look at me.
Yes.
You want sexy cool. You want to look like you give no shits, but you still look hot, but not like I'm sex on legs hot. Just like I happen to be sexy and I'm also wearing a leather jacket. What of it? So I think I was wearing, oh God, I actually can remember what I was wearing. I was wearing a pair of tight jeans and one of those jumpers that had the collar sewn into it. You know, like a V-neck tight fitting jumper, which like had a shirt collar to make it look like I'd layered it. And I was wearing kind of, it was just all very tight fitting, but casual.
I want to quickly jump
in. Kind of librarian chic.
Yeah, very much. Like librarian chic.
I like it. I want to quickly jump in because, and
I can't believe I remember what clothes I was wearing when I was 19, you guys.
Incredible. And just touch on something quickly because Elizabeth said she broke up with her ex. Dumped him, right?
I did.
But then you're this, interestingly, you're this kind of person that hates being the dumper. So most people listening to this story would go, she's walking into a party where she dumped him.
I know.
She should have all the power. She doesn't operate this way.
I'm going to explain. And if this is an episode for another day because it's a story I'm not quite willing to tell yet, but there's the breakup that had happened beforehand was a really dumb decision on my part based on inexperience. So anyway, I walk into this party, I'm nervous that I'm going to see him, and the second that I open the door, it's like one of those really terrible movies where the party was one of those ones where they'd set up a basement to look a bit disco-y, so there was just all kinds of dark like corners, nooks and crannies, and there was and I just walked in. I didn't even notice anybody else in the room because I just clocked this guy sitting in the back left corner of the room playing guitar.
Yes. Yep.
And he looked like Dirty Dancing Patrick Swayze. I was just like, who the... And I think I grabbed one of my friends and went, who the fuck is Patrick Swayze over there? It turned out that Patrick Swayze was my... Okay, get ready to table this in your head. My ex's sister's ex.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's weird and awkward. And he was one of those guys that I just thought was impossibly good looking. And now that I know him better, I know that was not the case. But at the time I was just like, what? Whoa. And then all of a sudden he looked up and came over to talk to me. And at that time I didn't know how awesome I was either. I just thought I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh my God, he's talking to me. Oh my fucking God. Like, people like this don't talk to me. And then I found out after a bit of chatting that he was also a professional athlete.
Oh,
he had this ridiculous body, like
Patrick Swayze in Dirty Dancing.
Patrick Swayze in Dirty Dancing, exactly. Like, there was no difference.
He
like,
was a
spot
dancer.
The difference. They're both the same picture.
So you just found yourself in a room with one of these amazing.
There were other people there, but
yeah,
I
but
don't.
With a,
but this guy had a spotlight on him.
And he did though. Yeah.
And when you're in the same room as one of these attractive people, like these ultra attractive, that feels like they've traveled from a different dimension, and their energy around you doesn't feel right. Because you're not used to talking across this Adonis.
No. And so then when he asked someone else for my phone number and they gave it to him, and then he called me and I was like, what?
Be cool, Liz.
What? And like the truth is, I go back and look at photos of myself then and I could have been a fucking model. Like, it's ridiculous how down on myself I was then. But like, and I was even working for a promo agency, and you would think someone working for a promo agency,
you're probably...
like, I used to be a breaker girl and I still thought people like that didn't talk to people like me. If you don't know what a breaker girl is, boys and girls, Google yes. it. It's just people who dress sexy to sell chocolate milk.
Ah, the early 2000s.
Yeah. And I was a cougar girl briefly for about 6 months as well.
Fantastic.
Look up the ad. And so we went out on a date, and I don't actually remember what happened on the date. All I remember is just being like,
this isn't me.
He was also 9 years older than me.
Okay.
So when you're 19 and he's 90, that's because yeah. age difference, that's sort of, you disagree with an age difference. Your
stage difference.
Stage difference.
That's my issue. It's a wonderful. I was just like, whatever, because my ex before that had been a bit older than me too. And I was just like, I just like older guys. This is the thing. I remember exactly the moment that I met him. I remember the end of the first date where we kissed, and I remember fuck all else other than we're together now. So we started actually dating, and he was completely love bomby. Like, was just talking all the time about our future,
and you guys are boyfriend and girlfriend. We,
yeah,
at this stage.
I don't even remember having the discussion. We just yeah, were, just happened. And he used to do things that made me feel really safe. Like when we were walking in a shopping center, he'd make sure that I was along the wall and he was on the outside so that someone wouldn't bump into me. I was like, why do you always swap hands? Like, because I was like, why do you always swap hands when we come into the shopping center? He's like, well, I want to make sure that I'm on the outside edge so that no one bumps into you. And I was like, oh, that's kind of sweet. Like, he would also always make sure that he was walking on the side of the road if we were walking near the side of the road. And I'm trying to remember. Oh, and like, I remember bringing him to my parents' house for a pool party at one time. And my aunt, who wasn't that much older than me, she's probably about 10 years older than me. So like his age. Came past after he was there swimming and just went, thanks for bringing him over. Thank you. Thank you for that. And I was like, you're welcome. Yeah, you're so welcome.
Can we just jump back to the positioning in a supermarket? Yeah. Is that something that people think about? I guess I'm looking at you,
I'd
Tom.
Never heard of it before him, but I have heard it since.
Right.
In a sense that this is going to come out awkward, but it's well intended. In some ways, women are constructed towards like a finishing school kind of mentality. Men are dragged toward can be dragged towards like acting like a gentleman. So that,
I mean, I get that. Like,
and that's it.
Like,
so
pulling out chairs and opening doors is different from ensuring that you're
so
on
the walking on the side of the road. I do. I'll do that one where I walk closer to the thing, but not in a supermarket. In a mall.
Like a crowd, I can imagine like being close to kind of like manage the people around you.
Yeah, I mean, like I had another ex who would sleep always. I told him that he was actually doing the wrong thing and putting me in more danger. So he would always sleep the furthest away from the door. And I'm like, you want them to murder me first? And he's like, no, it's so that if something happens, I can see the whole room at once. Yeah. And I'm like, and use me as a shield? Anyway, so we're back to this relationship. And the thing is, like, I can't remember a lot of the good stuff because it got very overshadowed. So what I do remember...
So how long did the whirlwind last? How long was it kind of like you met and you went on dates, then you started dating and it was very like...
Very quick.
Yeah.
And I just remember he would never... He was not a verbal, expressy man. So he'd do like actions or cuddling or whatever, and he was very good at the sex. I have to say that. I'm sorry. He really was. Although having dated people with ridiculous bodies and normal bodies, I actually think it's more comfortable not having someone like it was like hugging a sack of potatoes. The muscles, the ripples.
Right,
like
okay, yeah.
Just
there's no give.
There's
no padding.
There's nowhere to nuzzle into. There's no nook that I fit in. It was just like he was a human V, like broad shoulders, tiny waist. Anyway, and I just remember sitting at dinner at one point with his parents who were very abrupt and, well, his mother was lovely, but his dad was one of those blunt people who if you're still at the home and he wants to go to bed, he'll come downstairs in his pajamas during dinner. And he did do that once with me. But we were talking about, I still remember we were talking about his younger brother's 21st and what happened. And so his mum turns to me and goes, oh, so what did you do on your 21st? And I'm sitting there going, I'm 19. And she just like, oh. And then they never quite acted the same way around me again. Yep. Anyway, what I do remember is that we ended up dating for about a year and a half, right? And through that, he was always training. And so, you know, occasionally like 6-7 hours a day, he'd train in the morning, train in the afternoon. He was like, you know, an awarded athlete, shall we say, like an officially awarded athlete.
And then so is when that like professional athlete, like training?
Yeah, yeah. Like training, Commonwealth Games training. Yeah. And so when he met my parents, and I think I've told this part of the story apropos of nothing for another story, but when he met my parents, I was really excited for him to meet my parents because I just thought he was the bee's fucking knees.
Of course.
And so I made
Patrick Swayze.
And so I made this really special dinner, which was actually really hard to make. So what I did, I'm going to explain to you what I made so you know how much effort I went to.
Please.
So I had this chicken breasts that I stuffed with camembert and semi sun-dried tomatoes. And then I rolled them up, crumbed them, fried them, and served them with a basil mint pesto sauce that I made myself. And it was fucking delicious.
There's work in that. It
took hours. So the first thing, you know, everyone's eating dinner and he turns to me and goes, "It's a bit dry." And I was like, oh, I didn't even notice that he'd said that. And then Mum later on went, "You know, he insulted your cooking within the first 5 minutes of us sitting down to eat." And I was like, "What? Did he? What?" Then later on in the night, he's talking to my parents and he falls asleep mid-conversation.
Now.
So he blames this on the fact that he has to start training at 5 o'clock in the morning every morning and then he has to go to work and then train from 6 to 8 or whatever. And I defended him to my mother going, "Mum, he's such a hardworking..."
I will ask, did he usually fall asleep in mid-conversation around that time with you?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Yeah. He would get tired and say, "We need to go to bed now."
Yeah.
Or excuse himself, but I can't remember him ever falling asleep.
Yeah, he's got wonderful excuses for falling asleep, but falling asleep was poor.
So my mother was automatically like, "I hate this guy."
Yeah.
And so a little bit along the line, I'm just trying to get this time. All I can remember is all the terrible stuff that happened at the end. He also, okay, so another thing that we had because of his training schedule, he told me very firmly that we could only have sex one night a week.
Just one.
He was exhausted.
Okay.
And it was always on Saturday because he only had to train once on Saturday instead of twice.
I've heard of athletes who have very strict sexual regimes. Yeah.
And he said to me it wasn't because he needed to perform better in sport. It's just that he was too tired. And I just went, okay, that's fine. Sex night, great. And so as you do, you tell your girlfriends about sex night because that's a fun topic of conversation.
Sure.
So one day I get home with Aiden and we go to the front door of my house and there are streamers and balloons and a banner that says "Happy Sex Night" with pictures of dicks ejaculating at my front door. Now I think this is hilarious. He lost his shit. "How dare you share our private information with people? How dare you tell people this? They don't know. I don't need anyone to know." Like, it got to the point where we had such an aggressive fight about it that he left and I was in tears. Like, he was furious.
That's really unfortunate that it blew up and got bit. But did he have a case? Did he have a point for... I know, you women, you love to chat, but you're not allowed to all the time.
They were my two best friends.
I don't know. I'm asking the question.
Like, as if I'm not going to tell them about my sex life.
Like, getting
partially his story, but it's also Liz's story.
Yeah.
If you're dating, right, in this tour.
And if there's a situation where your friends have said, "Hey, we want to do this Saturday night," and you're like, "Oh, unfortunately,
I can't.
I really want to make it sex night this week."
Yeah. Like, if I miss sex night, it doesn't come around literally for a whole nother week. Like,
and that's the thing. I kind of feel like his anger came from our place of insecurity that he's only having sex once a week.
Yes.
I also think knowing what I know now, it was an element of control and controlling his narrative and my narrative. So it got to a point in the relationship where, like, we'd been dating for a year and he hadn't said that he loved me, and I was really nervous about that, and I was constantly kind of looking for reassurance because I was like, how have we been going out for this long and you haven't said that you love me?
It's a wonderful question for another episode. When do we, I know there is no right answer.
But if you've been together with someone for a year, they should love you. Otherwise, why are they with you?
That's the point. Is like, it's not when should you say it. It's like, you should say it when you feel it. Mm. It's like, when is it a problem that you haven't said?
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
And so I would constantly, because my love language is words of affirmation and I wasn't getting that.
Yeah.
And it's also physical touch. And sex night was once a week, guys.
Mm.
And he was a bit funny about like PDA. He was fine to hold my hand in a supermarket as a protective slash controlling thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we never were like kissy kissy or smoochy in public. And whenever I would try and bring it up and communicate it with him, I just remember this one explosive argument that he had, because it was so, the picture is in my brain, where he goes, it's just like you're picking a fucking loose thread on a sweater and it's just unraveling. Why do you have to pick all the time? Why can't you just leave things as they are? Like, why don't you just leave the sweater intact? And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Like,
because the sweater doesn't fit.
Yeah. And unfortunately.
Yes!
That's my point.
Unfortunately, men think and know that we're born perfect, so that anything that needs to change has to be wrong by definition.
And so I hadn't quite realized that I was really depressed at this point. I hadn't realized that I was really unhappy in my relationship, because I was like, this fucking Adonis is dating me, whatever. But just little things, like he would tell me to wear flats instead of heels and I would go, yes, sir, you know. Or he would, I remember my agency that I was with once suggested putting me forward for the Miss University pageant, which is just like a pageant.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like pageants, but I had already said to my boss, oh, I don't really think I'm a pageant kind of girl, because I didn't think I was one of those girls. Yeah. Totally fucking was. Not anymore. But like, and so I told him in the kind of together, isn't this funny kind of thing. And he goes, oh, you shouldn't go in that. Have you seen the girls? Have you seen the girls that go so into girls like that?
So poor.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like the more you're going on, the more you're telling, like it just seems like he fell into a pattern of negging you.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is just like, okay, so I have you and you fit into my schedule.
Yes.
So I'm just going to remove your worth until you think that you can't do any better.
Yeah, okay. And so this is when we start. Oh, I've got one more little anecdote before we start into the downward spiral. So my 21st birthday. Oh, we must have been dating for longer than a year.
Mm.
My 21st birthday, and I started dating when I was 19.
The end of 19.
Yeah, maybe. Change, yeah. Anyway, so my 21st birthday is coming along and he's brags to me for months that he's got the perfect present for me. And I'm like, oh, like I'm getting excited. Like normally I'm happy for whatever someone gives you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But when they brag for months and months about how fucking great their present is, you get a bit hype, right?
Well, you're excited because they must have put thought
effort
into it.
Yeah.
Thought and effort, yeah.
Yeah. So 21st birthday comes along and I had a 1920s party at my house and he shows up looking all dapper in his fucking suit jacket that barely fits because his muscles are rippling through it. I hate that he was so in such good physical shape because he's such an asshole. And he gives me the biggest bunch of lilies that I'd ever seen. And lilies, I had said to him, was my favorite flower. And I was like, this is beautiful. And then he was like, so what do you think? And I was like, oh, the flowers are beautiful. And he's like, yeah.
Months.
Perfect gift.
Yeah. He's like, I remembered your favorite flower. I'm like, we've been dating for a year. I would fucking hope you would. That was it. That was my 21st present, a bunch of flowers. And they were a big bunch. But
so we missed a misreading of the brief.
It's self-congratulation of this. I've remembered a detail about you.
About your life.
Yeah.
Give me a medal. Yeah. It was just, and I don't want to sound materialistic because you don't need to go overboard. Even if you'd kept a fucking, you know, framed a ticket stub from our first date or whatever, like that's still meaningful. But when you brag for so long and it's the, I'm so great, I've got you this.
Right.
It's the fact that he wanted the pat on the back for it. And everyone I told was like, so what did you get you? And I'm like, flowers. They're like, for your 21st. But, oh, all right. Okay, so here we start the downward spiral. So I didn't really know how under his spell that I was. I just knew that there was something in my body that made it feel like I was jumping out of my skin and I didn't know why. Like I just was, it's, you know, that really itchy, antsy kind of feeling.
I mean, we can acknowledge at this point that this is was a pattern with you, right?
Yes.
Is that like you bought into relationships a lot quicker than the men that you dated.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the thing, like I've had had people match me in that passion, but
this, you wanted to make it work.
But this, and this guy never, like, when you said when did the whirlwind end, it wasn't ever really a whirlwind. I was always grateful that someone like him was dating someone like me, so he never really proved himself at all, other than, hey, I'm a hot person, you should like me and fit into my life when I want you to. And he would constantly, you know, neg me or say things about, you know, you can't go in that pageant because you're not blonde. Only blonde women can do, you know, like, wear your hair down. I don't like it when you wear it up. Like, little things like that. And I found myself not really associating with friends that pissed him off. So I had gotten isolated as well. And I was looking for something else in my life because I was really... I was a ball of anxiety and I didn't know what to do with it. So back in the day, I got a newspaper. I looked into, because that's when they used to advertise auditions for stuff in a newspaper. I'd never done any acting or theatre before in my life. And I saw an audition for a show called Blurred at Brisbane Arts Theatre. So they gave me my start. I went along, got the role, was like, what?
What do I do?
What do I do? But I just needed something outside of my life to distract me from how how unhappy I was in my relationship. Somehow I was like, well, if I'm happy here, then I'll be able to endure the relationship, which is the dumbest fucking way of thinking.
Yes.
See, I don't think that that's dumb, because it's like, when you're in a relationship, you can see that it is skewing your perspective.
Yeah.
And so finding something outside of the relationship kind of balances the perspective.
Yeah. Well, it gave me strength that he did not like.
Yes. Yep. Of course.
So I would constantly be going to rehearsals and he'd be like, why are you not available? And I'm like, I have rehearsal. And I still remember, like, having the cast over to my house one night. Like, and I still remember. So I was having the cast. We were just hanging out, having fun. Nothing debaucherous or insane. Mm. Just cast drinks at the house. He walks into the house, stands in the doorway, stares at me and walks out again.
Now, obviously this behavior is toxic and negative and bad, but walking into a house of actors can
it is intimidating, but the look that he gave me,
I can imagine, was not as playful or nice.
One of I'd betrayed him by having people over without informing him, but I hadn't even invited him over that night. He'd just shown up.
Oh dear.
And I went downstairs and outside, and I was like, what's wrong? And he's like, I came over to spend time with you and you're with other people. And I was like, okay, but they're just my friends from the theatre. They're just like fucking, you know. And he's like, look, I don't have the energy to be dealing with people right now, so I'm just going to go home. And then I went inside and burst into tears because I was really upset. There was a really hot guy in the cast who was like, why is he treating you like this? And I'm like, So another night, so this pattern of him getting angry at me spending time doing something outside of the relationship continued until it came to a head one night where I had a cast party at my house again, and I told him in advance this time, and I said I had a cast party and blah, blah, blah. And a couple of people ended up staying over. Now, this is probably the craziest that I've ever gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, what's happening now?
No. It's just something that is so not me, and I embarrassed that I did it, and I'm ashamed that I did it, and I would never do that now, but I understand why people do it.
They are interesting, those moments. We'll pause on this for because I have that quite often. Twice a week, I'll look back at behavior in my history and go, no, that was bad and wrong. And
it wasn't inherently bad. It was just it was an oh honey no moment.
Disappointed in yourself, or
I might have something to say, but I want to know what it is.
Okay, so first of all, the people that stayed over were both male. Mm-hmm. And second thing you need to know is that I lived in a share house, which means you cannot put them out in the lounge room because my flatmates would get up very early the next morning to go to work, so they slept in my bedroom on the floor, mind you. One of them super fucking gay, like the gayest, and the other one completely not interesting, and I had a boyfriend and I respected that. And so when I was getting changed for bed, I just went, oi, turn away, idiots, I'm getting changed. So I got changed for bed, went to sleep, boys slept on the floor, all seems fine. The next morning, he was like, Aiden, I nearly said the name. I nearly said it. I haven't done it yet.
I haven't marked down one thing yet.
Aiden comes in and he's like, so how was your party last night? With a really poppy pee. And I was like, oh, it was great. Yeah, we just had a few drinks and a couple of people slept over. And he's like, were these people men? And I was flustered and young. And I just went, well, yes. And he goes, did you get changed in front of them? And I went, I'm sorry. And he said, did you get changed in front of them? And I was like, well, and I lied. And I said, no, like we weren't even in the same room. No, like absolutely. Because I knew he was going to flip his lid.
Yeah.
And a lot of this relationship was me tiptoeing around him flipping his lid because he had a really nasty anger problem. Like he would just, it went from zero to explosive and me in tears. And so he said, how dare you have people stay over in my personal space? And I was like, it's my bedroom. And he's like, that is my space as your boyfriend. That is my space. That is my, you let other men in my personal space.
There we go. Just a couple.
And I was just making excuses. Current Liz would just be like, how dare you? That's my space. Get out of my life. But back then I was just like, I still felt grateful that this fucking Adonis was dating me. Because he'd also destroyed the small amount of self-esteem that I had.
Have we got to the crazy bit yet?
No.
Okay.
No, the crazy bit is that he grabs my phone, slams my bedroom door, and is holding it shut while he says to me through the door, I'm going to phone them and I'm going to ask them if you changed in front of them and we'll see. We'll see. So instead of going, this is fucked up, I knew that I had an old phone and a spare SIM card in the top of my drawer. So while he was yelling and screaming outside, I got my burner phone. It wasn't even a burner phone. It was just an old phone. Yeah. Put the SIM card in, phoned both of the boys and whispered into the phone, can you please lie for me? Can you, he's going to call you. And one of my friends was like, oh, Liz, no, this isn't. The guy was like, this isn't right. This is, he goes, I'll lie for you if you want me to. I didn't see anything, but he goes, you have to know this isn't healthy. And I was hyperventilating. I was like, can you please just lie for me? So this is what I think. Like I phoned up my friends and begged them to lie for me so this man wouldn't leave me.
Because you either subconsciously or consciously had to lie to this man,
So that's the thing. I don't think that's crazy because
it's more an oh honey, no, moment.
Were in danger. Like you
that's true.
You're in emotional danger, if not physical danger. You were like, oh God, I made this perfectly tiny white lie for his comfort.
Yeah.
And now I'm whispering down the line.
This has led to this reaction. Yeah. And I think that is something that...
I don't remember how I had time to do that. I think he might have driven away with my phone to call them.
Because that's the thing. As a young person, this one step leads to another and is that the frog in water, that escalation. Whereas when you've had this experience, you can go like, okay, no, this is the tipping point that I can never get past again. Yeah. And that's when you go, oh, no. Honey, no.
So he called my friends and he said, to try and trip them up, he was like, so when Liz changed in front of you, and they were like, oh, she didn't, what are you talking about, man? I was like, thank you. Oh my God. We didn't break up over this. I was like, thank you. Thank you so much for, you know, not getting mad about it. I won't do it again. Mea culpa.
I won't have fun. I won't.
Oh, honey, no.
Yeah.
Oh God, we're getting to the end, I promise. So there was just a lot of really nasty control issues, but that's one that I remember. Like I specifically remember crouching near my bed, whispering into the phone, begging my male friends to lie for me so that this abusive man wouldn't leave me.
Yeah. And it's terrible. But at this point, how long have you guys been together?
Just over a year.
Okay. Yeah.
So in the meantime, hot guy from the cast had been going like, what's going on here? And one drunken cast party, and this is the only time that I have ever cheated on somebody. And it was only a little bit of a make out, just a little pash. Nothing other than just a little pash. There's a photo of it somewhere where he's lying next to me and my face just looks...
Of course there's a photo of it somewhere.
Yeah, my face just looks happy.
Fucking cast parties.
Fucking cast parties. Like a printed out photo before photos were digital. There's a printed out photo that exists of this. And I had made up in my mind mind that I was going to break up with Aiden the next day. I knew I wasn't, but I had said, told myself that I was. There's a few times that I'm like, I'm going to. No, I'm not. He's still really hot and maybe he'll still love me. I don't know.
Yeah.
So on opening night of the show, so his parents came to see it, which was really lovely. Did they stay around to say hello afterwards? Fuck no, they didn't.
Of course, why would they?
That's just rude. By the way, if you ever come to see a friend's show, you either have to send them a text saying it was great, but I had to go, or you have to stay around and say hello. That's the rules. Them's the rules of going to a show. And he had, I think I can say this without identifying, so he had Olympic trials the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had said to him, cool, well, you know, we had a bit of a kiss, had a bit of a hug, and he's like, so are you coming home with me? And I was like, no, I've got the cast party because it's opening night.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you're coming home with me. I have Olympic trials tomorrow. I need you. And I was like, well, no, he's like, but I'll be wondering where you are all night and I won't sleep before Olympic trials. I'm like, well, I'll be at my home at the cast party.
Yeah.
Mm. It's just a thing that people do in theatre.
So you had to be... at his place sleeping.
Yes.
Rather
yes.
than... Because so for his comfort.
He needs her. He needs her.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I hate is the constant assumption of, I know we've made plans and it's just this, it's this right now decision making.
He never said to me, he's like, I've got Olympic trials the next day and I should have read into that, that she says in quote marks, that meant that he needed me to stay over. Yeah. Like we weren't going to have sex or anything because it wasn't sex night.
It's not sex night.
But Olympic trials the next day, apparently I needed to be supportive and that meant sleeping next to him instead of having fun with my friends. So he looks a little shitty, but not the shittiest that I've seen him. Mm. And he's like, all right, well, bye. 5 minutes later, I get a text message that says, you're dumped. What's worse, Y-O-U-R.
Oh, yes.
The dumped. Passive voice there, just like, not I can't be with you anymore. It's just like, you're dumped.
You're dumped.
Yeah. Yeah, this is from a 31-year-old man.
Yeah, yeah.
You're dumped.
You're dumped, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I later found out that he'd already started seeing somebody new behind my back.
Oh, yes. That's.
And they're married now, so congratulations to them. Have fun with that. But yeah, you're dumped. And I think the absurdity of that text made it a lot easier to just be like, you know what? Like I sobbed into ice cream that night. The cast party became all about let's cheer loser, I have never felt more grateful to have a group of humans around me that, and to be honest with those people in that first show, many of whom I'm still friends with, but one of whom I'm still best friends with, you know, like however many years later, gave me some of my strength back to realize that I would be okay not being in a relationship and that I would be okay without this big strong man protecting me from the harsh world and that I was actually better off and that I was accepting a lot less than I deserved because no one should have to phone their friends and beg. I was begging. Like I swear to God, I was literally begging these men to lie for me.
Yeah.
Mm. And yeah, the absurdity of the you're dumped sending a grammatically incorrect text message to an editor, it made it a little more funny. Yeah.
Yeah, not the most graceful or classy or even empowering exits he took there. The misspelled text message. Dear Lord. So how did you – so you have that weird, terrible breakup that sent for a message. How long did it take you to sort of turn, get out of – because getting out of a breakup or getting out of a relationship and turning that
corner. How long was it before you felt relief?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Probably about a month and a half to 2 months.
Yeah.
It took me longer than it would now, because I still thought that my worth was in this good-looking sports person
in this
liking me.
Olympian.
Yeah, well, failed Olympian, guys. He didn't.
Still, like...
I like to think that he didn't make the Olympic trials because I wasn't there.
At the time, he looked like an Olympian.
Yeah.
So that is where you were getting your self-worth from.
Yeah, absolutely. And I liked being seen with him as well. That sounds really vain, but also because he was so much older than me, I took a lot of what he said as wisdom.
Yeah.
And to be honest, doing theatre and being in that show, that was the first show that I've done and I pretty much haven't stopped since, was such a great distraction. Like I just put my heart and my soul into my performance. Having your support network, you get to see them every single night and do fun stuff on stage.
Like, and also if you're after a esteem of good cast is going to give it to you.
Yeah. Absolutely. And like my character at the time was with somebody who broke up with her for schoolies. Mm. And so she decided to get back at him by flirting with another guy in the train. And he just stands there. The boyfriend the whole time on the train is just pissed off. So that's all of my scenes were me flirting with somebody else and having someone be angry at me for it. Yeah. And I just like you use it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, so that's my story. And
deary me.
I'm not proud of a lot of how I acted
That's okay. You don't. That's your
But
call.
I thought I would have learnt more lessons. And then I dated, what did we call him last time? I don't know, fuckwit. The guy who was the worst guy for me. Yeah. And the same thing happened where I thought I was all strong and confident, but he had a more insidious way of getting me to lose my self-esteem. So it wasn't as obvious as negging and being possessive and controlling. It was like tiny offhand comments that didn't mean anything. And so I think that's how I lost myself in that one, having already had this experience.
So is there did you learn anything, or is this a case sometimes in life you're just a big stupid idiot and you can't help but be a big stupid
idiot? Yeah, you don't have to learn lessons right away. Mm. Like you can have learned lessons now.
Now I look back and I'm like, oh, honey, if you feel in a panic that you have to get your friends to lie for you so that your partner won't explode, that's not healthy. If somebody calls your bedroom their personal space, that's not healthy. Like I still remember being indignant and then being yelled at for half an hour about why I shouldn't have been indignant about that.
Yeah.
And apologizing. I think it's that he was so controlling. He wanted me to slot into his life, but I wasn't allowed to have any life other than supporting him.
I'm going to say something that might be a little controversial in the sense that a lot of the behavior that I think he exhibited, even though you were 19 going on 21, et cetera, et cetera, a lot of that behavior is grooming behavior where he presented himself as an authority, spoke words that you accepted as wisdom, and then turned that wisdom into control so that he could control you and how you... It's not necessarily that he was after someone younger. I'm not calling him a pedophile.
Yeah, well, because I did... He did treat his other girlfriends before me the same. Like, I remember running into my ex after I'd broken up with Aiden, my other ex. And I just was like, oh, my God, why didn't you tell me? And he's like, you wouldn't have believed me.
Yeah.
Because he saw how abusive Aiden had been to his sister. Like, he would fly off the handle and slam doors in her face and call her a C word. Yeah. Like, you know, he'd seen it, but he was still hurting from the breakup and he didn't think he was right. I wouldn't have believed him. Yeah. I absolutely would not have believed him.
And that's the thing. I think there is a kind of male approach to relationships where they do create the perfect partner for themselves at the loss of the woman's.
I absolutely think that's what happened.
And I think that's what I mean by grooming, not necessarily convincing a young person to trust you, but convincing a person to trust you and then changing the parameters without them knowing.
Yeah.
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 There's a bit of that. Zane, what do you learn from a tale as cautious as this one?
I think from hearing this discussion now, I think we can forgive ourselves the mistakes we make in our youth.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because a lot of what you did was acting out because you didn't know any better.
Mm. Yeah. I was, and when I think about it and what you just said, like I hadn't quite registered as fear, but I was afraid of him.
Yeah.
Not in a physical way. He never hit me, but he was an imposing man who would fly off the handle a lot.
That doesn't need to be.
And
more
so
than that.
There was an amount of fear.
That's the thing. Slamming a door is a violent act. Yep.
Yeah.
Punching a wall is a violent act.
Oh, yelling. He punched a wall too. I forgot about that. Yeah. He punched a wall once he found out the man slept in my bedroom, his personal space. Punched a fucking wall.
That's not good. He or she or they don't have to be making contact with you, dear reader. If they're hitting the wall or slamming doors,
well, that's aggression. It's implied attack on you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So just some red flags to keep an eye out there. My takeaway is just the power and value of a support network. I'm an introvert. I have less friends than I do fingers. But when I broke up with after a 7-year relationship, I had two friends just dropped everything and just went to my side. bed for 3-4 hours post thing
yeah.
and just helps you guide through. It's still going to be painful. You're still going to be blaming the sky and the gods and everything in it and angry and sad and all that yeah. crying. Eventually, there's time for all that, but having people that will come to your side.
The director of that show, and I'm going to call her out by actual name because I still am very, very thankful for this. So Fran. When I burst into tears and she's like, what's wrong? And I was like, broke up with me.
She literally,
I did it. Oh no. I was so close.
All right, time to collect,
I was so close to collect my
winnings.
Aiden broke up with me and she just went straight into like director mode where she said to other people, she's like, all right, you two go and get ice cream from this place. You guys go ahead, make sure that the house is open. I'm going to stay with Liz and we'll come to the house when we're ready. She just kind of directed people into my perfect soft landing pad from that breakup.
Well done.
And I think that's one of the reasons why we're still friends now is just because she cares so much about other people and will consistently put other people ahead of herself. She just knew exactly what I needed in that minute, directed everyone to do the thing and gave me the softest landing from that hard breakup that I've ever had that night. It was so great. So thank you, Francesca.
That's so sweet and a little nicer than mine. My two friends that helped me immediately post-breakup went out for booze and cigarettes because under the guise of, well, so Tom will probably want booze and cigarettes. So they were doing it for them.
Yeah.
In order to help me. So a little different there. But well done, Elizabeth Best. Everybody at home or at the gym, wherever you are listening, give a round of applause to Elizabeth.
Thanks. That was harder than I thought it was going to be. Because
yes, you've done very well.
Like, there's a lot of that relationship that is literally a blur. I only remember the touchstone moments that I've talked to you about today. Yeah. I remember nothing else about that relationship.
Well, I think that speaks to the odd emotional connection that you had in that it was mostly about the esteem that you had gave to each other externally rather than the relationship you had internally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Absolutely. So,
well done, Liz.
Thank you.
You'll be back in the director's chair next week. don't worry. You don't have to sit in the hot seat every week.
I'm not ready to tell the other stories yet. One day I will be, but I'm just not there.
So if you have an episode that must be heard, must be shared on this show, Ghosts of Boyfriends Past, please write it in at ghostsofboyfriendspast@gmail.com or jump on Facebook. We got a group there of like-minded individuals called Ghosts of Boyfriends Past.
Group therapy.
Yeah.
People put in their own questions, their own discussions.
Send me all the memes.
Otherwise, we thank you for listening, the three of us in this here studio. We love your time, your energy, your appreciation of what we do. Apart from that, just be good to one another.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. You there in the street, be good to that person. I'm not talking about your relationships. Just
be
also
kind.
Forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right.
I'll forgive myself.
I'll forgive myself, you dumb bitch, Liz.
You stupid. Stupid cunt.
Hi, I'm Travis.
And I'm Serge, and we are the hosts of Now That's Interesting podcast.
Here we talk about the topics that catch our interest and hopefully spark your curiosity to dig deeper into the world around you.
We go into enough detail to get a better understanding of the topic we cover.
Say just a bit above your average pub chat.
We talk about everything from conspiracy theories here on Earth to rovers on Mars and everything in between.
Find us on whichever platform you get your podcast fix.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The ancient and esoteric order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.